And now the game where we ask silly questions to people who've done serious things. It's called Not My Job. We are approaching this week's guest with some trepidation because we're about to interview perhaps the world's most famous interviewer. If you've never seen James Lipton interviewing actors on his show on the Bravo Network, Inside the Actor's Studio, then you at least have seen all the parodies on Saturday Night Live and The Simpsons. You know him. You've seen him. He specializes in making very rich, very successful movie stars feel like artistic geniuses. So we're hoping he can at least make us feel vaguely worthwhile. James Lipton, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much.
I mean, it is true that the people you've interviewed, every A-list actor you can think of have been on your show on Bravo, and the things you've gotten out of them, you know, just makes Barbara Walters weep with jealousy. How did you end up in this role of the interviewer of the great?
By mistake. As a vice president of the Actors Studio, it was my idea that we create a degree-granting program for the first time in then 47 years. And once we had created the school, I thought we ought to have a class where we would show the students, these master's degree candidates, actors, writers, and directors, what might lie ahead for them when they graduated. And so I invited our friends to come and teach. And that's how the whole thing began.
Wow. And your preparation for it, of course, is legendary. You have your stack of cards where you've written down all these things.
Yeah, they're blue and they're big and there are 300 or 400 of them for every person. It takes 2 weeks to prepare them. That's because we have no pre-interview.
Right.
That was my decision. It was a fateful, almost fatal decision. It takes me 2 weeks to prepare each show.
You should do it like I do. I hardly know your name, and here I am.
Yeah.
No, actually, you, of course, have a book out, Inside. It's about, as you say, ostensibly the program and the interviews you've done, but it's also an autobiography. It is amazing the things that you have done in your life. You were a child actor. You wrote 2 Broadway shows. And perhaps most interestingly, you are the world's foremost collector of collective nouns.
Correct. Exaltation of Larks was a book I wrote in 1968. It's never been out of print.
Yeah, an Exaltation of Larks, it's a collection of all those great terms for collective nouns, groups. A murder of crows, for example.
An unkindness of ravens, a leap of leopards, yep.
And those are all real.
A bunch of nouns.
Yeah.
They're real. Yeah, I went back to the 16th century. I discovered that there were hundreds of them, and that they were wonderful. They were works of art. They were poetic fantasies and very beautiful. An ostentation of peacocks and the shrewdness of apes. And I discovered that even then in the 16th century, in the Book of St. Albans, they were playing a game with them. I found a pontificality of prelates, an incredulity of cuckolds. And I thought, well, if they could do it, I could do it. Now came a slouch of models and a wince of dentists and a lurch of buses.
Yeah. Okay, we were wondering, I have one to suggest to you. How about this, for public radio listeners? A snoot of public radio listeners.
I'd like to think a wisdom of public radio.
You're so kind.
See?
A discretion.
Now, speaking of your erudition, in your book, you indicate that you're a little concerned about coming across as pretentious.
A little concerned.
A little concerned. And yet at the same...
Have you ever seen Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the funny thing. You mention Will Ferrell, like, I know Will Ferrell's going to laugh at this, but then you go on with it. And yet at the same time, you use phrases in your book like, quote, the hypnopompic state between sleep and awakening.
Well, that's because I'm a writer. The hypnopompic state and the hypnagogic state are very important to writers. Those are nothing more nor less than the state between wakefulness and sleep, and the state between sleep and wakefulness. That's when many writers get their best ideas, when they're going to sleep and waking up. That's all it is.
Well, while you mention it, tell me about the Will Ferrell thing. He, of course, imitated you on Saturday Night Live on many occasions.
Right.
And I just can't imagine what it would be like to be parodied that well by such a gifted comedian. What is it like?
It's a joy, of course. Look, he has added to my reputation. There are now 2 James Liptons wandering this earth. Mm-hmm. There's me, for better or for worse, and then there's Will Ferrell's me.
Did it become hard for you to do your job here, you know, having seen Will Ferrell do your job? You're like, I can't say that because he's just going to go to town on that.
Sometimes when I've said something on the stage, I have suddenly paused and said, oh, Will Ferrell will have my hide for this. Sure. But as you know, there are 50 photographs in the book. One of them is of Will Ferrell and me when he came to my 10th anniversary show, and we did the act together. We wrote it together, and we both played me, and he interviewed me. And the caption on that picture is my favorite caption in the book. It says, "When Will Ferrell came to our stage, I was beside myself."
Nice.
Well, let me ask you this. We do know that one of the things you do on your show is you do this research, and then you throw things at the interviewee, I should say, from their past, and you get their reaction spontaneous. So we've done that a little bit. James Lipton?
Yes?
Tell me about Miss Scarlet.
With great pride. Listen, man, I am privileged to be married to Miss Scarlet. My wife, Kedekai Lipton, was a very famous model. She's half Japanese and half Irish, therefore very exotic. And she is actually Miss Scarlet. If you look at the Clue game, there have been several versions of it, but the classic version, she's lying on a couch with a long cigarette holder on the cover.
Yeah.
The card is Miss Scarlet. And let me tell you, when you are playing the game, you discover that your wife did it in the parlor with the candlestick. It's rather disgusting. That'll give you a start.
Yeah, that's a good
turn. My wife is Miss Scarlet.
Mm. She did what, James Lipton? No, let me move.
Murdered.
Yes, murdered. Oh, of course. Yes, all right. Yes. Well, James Lipton, we are delighted to have you here with us. We have asked you here, well, for a different kind of questionnaire. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Why does Santa hate me?
It's the week after Thanksgiving. That means Christmas shopping season is upon us. We thought we'd give everybody some tips on some interesting toys available this year, taken from a list we found at cracked.com. They're just the thing for either the very strange child in your life or the child you never want to hear from again.
Or the very strange life in your child.
Exactly. That would also work. Answer two out of these three questions correctly, you'll win our prize from one of our listeners, Carl's Voice and their home answering machine. Best of all, although it's now made in China, Carl's Voice is pretty much lead-free. Don't lick it, though.
Mm. Right.
Carl, who is James Lipton playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Miriam Parker of Wilmington, North Carolina.
All right. That's pressure, man.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it, though?
Miriam, before this is all over, I hope you'll like me.
Here's your first question.
Yes,
you know about Playmobil? That's the company that makes these play sets, plastic figurines representing all kinds of people and places. Which of these is now available for the Playmobil connoisseur in your life? A, the Playmobil Secret Service Detail with cowering candidate. B, the Playmobil Hazmat Crew playset with tubs of toxic waste. Or C, the Playmobil Exotic Dancers with stripper pole and little plastic feather boa.
Well, all the kids I know would like the dancer with the pole, yeah. Sure.
You're going to go for that, the Playmobil Exotic Dancers?
Have to.
No, it was the hazmat crew, I'm afraid. All right, here we go. Second question. You still have two chances. Many inexpensive toys, of course, made in China. And many of those toys are meant to rip off the well-known brands, to put it bluntly. So you can go to the store and you can find accessories for a pretty blonde doll that looks like Barbie, but is really called, right there in the label, what? A, benign girl. B, happy blonde harpy. Or C, slut witch Becky.
I say it's benign girl.
You say benign girl.
Mm-hmm.
Benign girl and her accessories.
Slut witch Becky.
You're right, Mr. Lipton. It is, in fact, benign girl.
Well, as you may know from the book, I did the first American television show in China with Bob Hope called The Road to China, so I know the Chinese out there. That benign girl would
benign
be
benign girl,
it.
Yes. You can get, for example, a benign girl toy cell phone, which never does anything.
So that
bad.
Means that Slut Witch Becky is open, still open. That's awesome.
You can register that name if you want to.
It also means that somebody in this room came up with Slut Witch Becky.
Yeah, right. It says much more about you guys than it does about the Chinese.
It's a town in Connecticut, Slut Witch Becky.
All right, this is exciting. This is exciting because it all comes down to this if you get to the last one.
This is
correct.
It, isn't this it? This is a rubber match.
As I know you know, the best toy innovators are the Japanese. Maybe it's the cultural difference, but some of their toys seem to send mixed messages. Like which of these? A, a gun that shoots teddy bears. B, a kiddie bar set with little plastic tumblers and little plastic beer mugs? Or C, a candy syringe you, quote, inject into your mouth?
Mm. I'm torn between the kitties and the syringe. I'll go with the syringe.
You know, if a little candy syringe was actually the gun that shoots teddy bears. I hate to tell you.
I lost poor Miriam, well, wherever you are.
Here, hang on. Never apologize, sir. You're a performer.
Okay. That's the motto, isn't
exactly.
it? Don't complain, don't explain.
Exactly. No, the thing is that there's a tradition in Japan now, instead of throwing rice at weddings, people have taken to throw stuffed teddy bears.
Oh, they shoot these teddy bears.
And so somebody thought a gun might provide better accuracy and stopping power. So,
right.
Carl, how did James Lipton do in our quiz?
Well, he needed at least two correct answers to win for one. Miriam, but James had just one correct answer.
Whoa. Miriam,
I'm so sorry. James Lipton is the creator and host of Inside the Actors Studio, seen on the Bravo Network. His memoir, Inside, Inside, is in bookstores now. James Lipton, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. Bye-bye, sir.
Go on.
There's no business like show business.